I'll have to watch Reaching Around for My Coffee. Bump it again.
What's got to watch the Reach Around?
Everything.
Right, are we ready for some intros? Might as well kick it off.
Oh, you mean
now,
that was an intro enough?
No, I mean the intro music. Forget all this Reach Around stuff. Let's go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 656 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is November 7th, 2021. And this is going to be probably a more brief show today because we're celebrating Extra Life, talking about all things Extra Life and a little bit about what we did past week. Of course, we are a video game podcast. So if you're not familiar with us, we consider ourselves to be a little bit more mature gamers, wiser. We could buy our own beer. That's pretty much what it is. We're on every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. Central Time Zone, because we are all synced back up again thanks to Daylight Savings. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. And I am joined by two lovely people. I consider them family, legitimately family. We have Miss Kim Woods.
Wow, I'm touched.
But
oh, evil. Anyway, yep, that's me. I'm awake. I'm actually on the show. I think this is the first Extra Life I've actually managed a podcast after. So, hey.
Same thing. Yep, right there with you. Also on the show, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. Hello, Kim. Hello, everyone. I've had some sleep.
Yeah, and you have had sleep, yes.
I've had sleep.
Well, thank you to both of you for making the show. Unlike the other scallywags that couldn't be bothered, we know the true heroes today. real quick, I do need to give a shout out to Pete Chin. It was his birthday last week, and I know we gave him birthday shout outs last week, of course, but I wanted to just give him an extra little nudge of love and birthday shout out. So happy post birthday, Pete, you ginger bastard. You couldn't make the show. All right. Today's show. We really are going to focus in on Extra Life because that was the big thing that happened this past weekend. Kim and I, you and I both participated in Extra Life. If you're not familiar with Extra Life, it is a gamer drive where we game for 24 hours. We raise donations and give that to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. It's a fantastic organization, and it's a fantastic charity. If you are still interested, you can still donate. Just go to extralife.org and look for VG Hub. That is the name of our team, Video Gamers Hub, VG Hub. And within there, you can find myself, Kim, Gary DeFelice, who's, Gary, Luis Raimondo, as well as the Wolowitz family, all part of the team this year. And so you can donate to any one of us or all of us. Do whatever you want to do. That being said, let's get into some story time real quickly. There are some other things beyond Extra Life we can talk about real quick. That's a cue for you, Mark.
What am I doing? Story time. Sorry. I'm trying to find an Extra Life video.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right. So outside of Extra Life, what's been going on this past week? We'll start with Mark. Because Mark probably has the least to talk about out of all of us.
Well,
he's got a pain in the butt.
Yeah, past couple of weeks I've not been on because on the Friday I was doing a job at work and it was a big, heavy, horrible job on a Ford Transit pickup thing. Big and heavy, clumsy, big wheels and everything. And I had a bit of a twinge in my back, and I didn't think out of it. And I woke up Saturday morning, and I couldn't fucking move. I was in agony. All my lower back was just horrendously in pain, immobilised me. So all that weekend, it was really bad. And then the Sunday night, I was trying to stretch my leg and stuff to try ease the pain. And then I just locked up and I couldn't move and it was like excruciating pain. And all of a sudden it like eased off a bit. And I thought, oh, great, it's gone. It must have been a trapped nerve. And I have suffered sciatic nerve before, trapped nerve. Anyway, I woke up Monday morning for work and all my leg and my knee and my foot, all that sort of like right hand side of me, that was aching. And the more I sort of like rested, I was okay moving around, but if I sat down for like 10, 15 minutes or stood up for like 10 minutes, I just got this horrendous pain and ache in my leg, and that went on for 2 weeks. It's just finally gone this sort of like past few days. So yeah, I've not been having a right good time with it lately. So I've not done much gaming, so not being able to sit down. Tried to watch a bit of TV. Me and Jenny's watched season 2 of Lock and Key on Netflix. I talked about Lock and Key a while ago when it came out originally. We really enjoyed this. It's a bit of a fantasy thing with this house where they've got like magical keys, and these magical keys do different things. And season 2 is quite good as well. Really enjoyed it. So yeah, if you like that sort of like fantasy stuff, it's worth a watch. That's about it for me.
Okay. Really.
But yeah, you two have got a lot to talk about, so I'll be very brief.
No worries. I'm sorry to hear that your entire lower half was basically paralyzed and functioning. That's tragic, but at least it's recovered now. So there's that. Yeah. Kim, what about you? Anything beyond Extra Life you wanted just to take a couple minutes to talk about?
Yeah, a little bit. Not much. And most of you already heard about it. But anyway, you know, I've been raising these kittens. And a little update. They're doing fine. Well, two of them are. I lost the third one. It happens. And so they're doing fine. They're healing up and everything. So hopefully within a week or so, they'll be outside with the other little kittens. And, you know, such is life. So other than that, it is a new month. So new calendar. So we have that. God forbid. Because,
here we go.
Last month, I waited till almost the end of the month. So, hey, I'm on the ball this time. So anyway, for the firefighters' cattle. Calendar, we have Nathan and Bindi.
That's a big pussy.
So,
that is fucking it huge.
It's a monster cat. It is.
Right. They had to get a beefy guy there to hold her up and or him up. Yeah. I don't know, male, female. I don't know what hell it is. The cat.
I appreciate you not raising that calendar up any further. I didn't need to see any more. Kim. So. No.
And of course, November is a good month this year. I also have Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption 2. So
nice.
I kind of like November. And fear not, I already have 2022 figured out. So
I was losing sleep over this, Kim. I really was. I was fearful. I was thinking we were going to have to make a calendar for you, the podcast team, and that was not going to be a pretty sight. So I'm glad you were able to.
That would have been hilarious. Yeah. I think that's a good idea. We should run with that. I like that.
I don't know what this means, Kim, but Gary's put in the chat, I want that cat checked for PEDs, lol.
Yes. Performance-enhancing drugs.
All right,
needs to be absolutely checked for PEDs. Absolutely. All right.
That's it for me. So,
yeah. Okay. Let's see. So real quick. Halloween was fantastic last week. Had a nice time with that. That was all kind of on the heels of some drama leading up to that in terms of bathroom vanities and remodeling of the house. I do not even have the energy to talk about this. It's not quite finished yet. I have to still install the backsplash on the vanity. I'm waiting for it. We had to order a separate side splash piece. But let me just put it this way. I hate P-traps. P-traps are the bane of my existence at the moment. And so I will be thankful the moment I don't have to consider them anymore. Just the whole having to design the P-trap, because once you take out an existing vanity, now you're stuck with the initial plumbing and you're trying to connect your sink up to that plumbing. And so the P-trap never quite fits perfectly. and the existing one won't fit at all. So I had to absolutely redesign the whole P-trap system, which made for a headache and a half. But that's done. It's done. It's behind us. So now we're moving forward. We're good. I did start watching the movie Free Guy. I decided to rent it Friday night. It's good.
Have you not got Disney Plus?
It's not on Disney Plus in the US. Oh, it was only on Disney Plus in the UK.
Right, okay.
So I didn't want to wait. I was like, you know what? I'll just watch something different. Was kind of in the mood to check it out. It's good, but I felt, I don't know. I just felt like it was just not quite where I had hoped it would be. I don't know. I wanted a little bit more. And I guess it was a little bit more Deadpool than I like, but I guess just the Ryan Reynolds character just was, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It didn't wow me. I enjoyed it enough. So, Kim, did you say something?
I said you weren't a fan. Is that it?
Yeah. I'm not a hater. It's not that I don't like the movie. It's just it's not going to be like, oh, my God, this is the best movie I saw all year long. Much like Dune. Same kind of vibe. Dune is good, but it wasn't great. And I don't get all of the revelry around that movie. A lot of people are like, oh my God, it's the next Star Wars. No, it is not. It's not the next Star Wars. It is just Dune, which is a, you know, basically a remastered version of the original Dune. So, all right. And I think that's it. That's it for me for story time. So we're just going to kind of cook this along. Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say. Free Guy, it's okay. I would wait for it to be free. There you go. Free Guy for free. Mark, let's talk about some video games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. So, Kim, as you know, we are still very early in the month of November. That means we need to still talk about all the games that we get for free that we paid for. So, if you wouldn't mind, let's kind of rattle through that before we dive into everything else.
Sure. Your games with gold for November are Moving Out, which is available now to the end of the month. Kingdom 2 Crowns, which is available the 16th to December 15th. Rocket Knight, which is available November 1st to the 15th. And am I the only one that didn't know about Rocket Knight? It was not one I'd ever heard of.
No, you're not the only one that didn't know. I still don't know about it.
Right? And they're like out there. Is it some sort of classic or something? And I'm thinking, oh, well, I was around during the 360 days. I don't remember Rocket Knight at all. So, okay. I'm not sure it's that much of a classic, but here we are. Lego Batman. I just pissed off like the mega Rocket Knight fan club. I'm going to get hate mail now. Lego Batman 2 DC Super Heroes, available November 16th to the 30th. All right. And for your PlayStation Plus for November, we have First Class Trouble. That is PS4 and PS5. Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning for the PS4, which is something I highly recommend if you like RPGs. Knockout City for PS4 and PS5. The Persistence for PSVR. Also for PSVR, we have The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, and Until You Fall, which if I was doing VR, that would be my game because I would fall. Let's see. For your Twitch Prime games for the month of November, we have Dragon Age Inquisition, also one I recommend, Control Ultimate Edition, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Rogue Heroes, Liberated, Puzzle Agent 2, Demon Hunter 2, New Chapter. Boy, don't get those two confused. Demon Hunter 2, Puzzle Agent 2. Demon Puzzle Agent Hunter. I don't know. Anyway, Breaks Are for Losers. Maybe that's a game by somebody who hasn't been in a car crash. It got me. Secret Files, Sam Peters. So that's the games. Stadia games for the month. We have Saints Row 4, 100 Days Winemaking Simulator. Oh, there you go, Tank Top. There you go. Dirt 5 and Kimono Heroes. They run around in kimonos? How does that work? And for your Epic Game Store, we have Avon Colony, which is available now through the 11th. So there you are. There's your free games that you pay for.
There you go. See? Way to get into it. I don't know about the whole Breaks Are for Losers. I get the sentiment. What is that? Go fast, go fast, go fast. But yeah, the brakes are for winners, actually. Most of the best race drivers know how to brake really well. But that's a good month for Twitch Prime. I think there's some really good games in there. And Stadia is still a thing?
Apparently, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that many people are actually using it, but apparently they're still putting games out for it. So
yeah, by the way, we've had massive complaints, Kim, from the Rocket Knight fan club. They are throwing shame at you, and we've solicited millions of emails already complaining about you. So there we go.
Am I fired? Right. Or,
no. Not fired yet. No, we'll back you on this, Kim. I stand with you. All right. Let's talk about Extra Life. That happened yesterday. Kim, what time did you officially start your Extra Life adventure?
I started about 3:15. You know how it is first thing in the morning, especially at that time. You're trying to get everything up and motivated and realize, oh, hey, my ass is awake at stupid o'clock. So, yeah. So I start about 3:15. So
yeah. And it is stupid o'clock when we usually start. I woke up at 4:30 and actually got going at 5:30 is when I started my official stream. Now, Mark, somebody had made some comments about my stream. I would like to hear this. What's going on with this?
So we've got some breaking news. We've got an Intrepid reporter in the background. Our Intrepid reporter is Lord. And the breaking news is that he can reveal Greg's stream only went for 23 hours, 44 minutes, according to Twitch. So he thinks that all the donors shouldn't feel shortchanged, and he should do another one next week to make up for it.
No. Here's the deal. I started it. I was going to stream Avengers, and then I had to stop it because for some reason the Xbox was saying this game can't be streamed. I tried multiple times to get it going, finally gave up on it, but then I started my stream properly and just let it go the entire time. So whatever, Lord, I see how it is. Stab me in the back after you know, you're all smiles in front of my face, and then I turn my back, knife right to the back.
Hey, Lord?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Okay. So we both started off relatively early in the morning. Was it an easy go for you, Kim? What did you think? How did it all?
Believe it or not, this time it was easier because you've been there a couple of times when towards the end I was really like, So other than the, you know, the end of it there where the last half hour or so I was driving a mail truck off the road. But for the most part, it was pretty easy. Of course, you know, I had people coming along and wanting to play games and put up with the fact that I was fuzzy headed and you know, may not have got the puzzle right or, you know, whatever the deal was. So that made it easier. And my philosophy is the earlier I start, the earlier I can get over. So that helps too. Because one year I did wait till like 9 o'clock in the morning to start. And I did not make 9 o'clock the next morning. So yeah, it worked for me.
It is funny. I'm the same way. The earlier I can get it going, the better it seems. And like you, I felt this year was super easy. It was the same thing last year. Very easy. I did not really struggle for 23 hours. The last hour got a little tough. And I think it's when you know you're in that final stretch. You know you're almost done. You're like, it's right around the corner. So I also had a couple of those moments of driving off the road, especially when Sarah popped into the Twitch stream for me. And I looked down on my tablet because I was checking my chat on there, and I see RCGC, and I'm like, oh shit, Sarah's on. And I sure enough go straight into a tree. Wham. So yeah. But anyway, so beyond that, anything, what was the food for the day for you? What did you eat? What did you, you know, what was the snacking of choice?
A lot of Halloween candy, because we have loads of Halloween candy left over. So it was lasagna for lunch and Halloween candy and coffee. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised I'm shaking like this today, but, you know.
I was pretty good about not eating a lot of candy last night, surprisingly so. I had a little makeshift burrito for lunch yesterday, and then we had some pizza and salad for dinner. And then, really, it was two rock stars through the course of the day and one big cup of coffee first thing. And that was the gist of it. And I had a couple pieces of candy here and there. I did eat one of the, the Star?
Star Bar, yeah.
A Star Bar, yes. Yeah. I had a Star Bar courtesy of Robin. He had sent me some candy bars. And so I had a Star Bar, which I thought was going to be like a whatchamacallit. Not at all like a whatchamacallit.
Oh. No.
But it was good.
Peanuts, but peanuts in a crushed, like peanut buttery type thing, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. I love Star Bars.
It was good. It was good. It was much more chewy, though.
Yeah.
I was expecting the whatchamacallit with like that cookie crunch to it.
Yeah, it's wrapped in toffee and chocolate on top.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the eating of choice. Now, Mark, you kind of tagged along with Extra Life. So was there anything in particular?
Early,
go ahead.
Yeah. So, well, do you want to tell the story about the game we played a lot of?
Well, so let's do this. Let's start with Kim's games. Kim, we'll talk about your games, and then we'll dive into what Mark and I played, because pretty much Mark and I played the same games the entire time.
Mm-hmm. All right. I kind of varied for the most part because I did start early. So I started out with Song of Iron, and I played it until I finished it. And there was a surprise twist on the end of that one that I did not see coming, given that it's a Viking side scroller, you know, avenge my dead family sort of thing. And then there was this plot twist, and all right. So things aren't all what they seem. So anyway, Song of Iron has been officially completed, and for $20, I'd say give it a go. So anyway, I started out with that, and then I was, because I don't really plan these things out necessarily. I mean, I should, I guess, but I've done it for like 9 years now, and I kind of just go by the seat of my pants what I feel like playing. So right. I sat there for a while, and because I played it from like 3 o'clock till, I don't know, was it 8 or 9 or something? It took me that long to finish it. And then I decided Greedfall was sitting there, and I keep saying over and over, I've got it, I need to start it, yada yada, because it's an RPG and I love those things. And so I started Greedfall, and I played it for, I don't know, a couple hours maybe? And it was all right. And the only thing I've noticed about Greedfall is when they do the animations of them talking, one, it seems like they have like 3 sets of teeth in their mouth. So that's kind of off-putting. And they've got like a mouth full of freaking teeth. It's just the weirdest fucking thing. And then on top of that, the syncing with the audio doesn't seem right. So when their lips are moving and they're saying a word, it doesn't like the word that's speaking. And it's just kind of weird. I mean, it's not a deal breaker. I'm sure eventually once I get into it a little further, I won't even notice it after a while. But that first couple hours or so, I'm looking at it going, has he got 3 rows of teeth? You know,
I'll be honest. I struggled with Greedfall. I tried it. I just couldn't get into it. I don't know what it was, but it was a struggle for me as well.
Yeah. I'm kind of that way too. It's not grabbing me right away, but then I've had other games like that, and then I played it for a little while, and then something happened, and eventually I'm like, aha, that's it. And I've played it and loved it, and it's been fine. So I'll give it a go and keep going with it, and we'll see where it ends up.
Okay.
And then Sarah got a hold of me, surprisingly enough. She wanted to know if I wanted somebody to come along like in the afternoon and play a few games. I'm like, well, that would probably help make things go along a little faster. So she mentioned Operation Tango, which was a PS Plus game back in June, I believe. And what Operation Tango is, one of you is an agent, one of you is a hacker. And the thing of it is, you don't see what is on the other person's screen. They have to tell you what they see, and you have to tell them what you see, so you can help each other out doing whatever it is, getting the file, grabbing whatever's in the safe, whatever it is.
I see.
Yes, it's it was fun.
I had to. Sorry.
I know, right? Yeah. And thank God for Sarah, because by the time we played this, it was the afternoon, and by this time I've been up for 12 hours, and my poor brain just was not comprehending, you know, simple math problems and problem solving, and it took a little bit. I'm not going to lie, but she was great through it. She talked me through it, and we did things like 6 or 7 or 8, 9 times, because there were just times my brain would hit up like this, and it'd be like, all right, my fault, let's do it again.
Sounds a bit like that game, Don't Talk and Nobody Explodes, where someone has to describe something, and then the other person has to defuse a bomb type thing.
Yep, that's it's like one we had to. She was the hacker, and of course I was the agent. And I, on my screen, I could see her little person, and I had to put the tiles down so she could walk from one platform to another without falling in to complete the program or something like that. So, you know, she was sitting there trying to tell me, okay, there's where the lasers are. See, I couldn't see the lasers, but she could. So, you know, put them here, whatever, and go that way. And it was fun. Like I said, it's just not probably something to play when you're tired and your brain is not functioning, but we made it through it. Unless you have a partner like Sarah who is understanding and is not, you know, worried about repeating things 12 million times.
Right.
So that was fun. And then Boomer hopped on after, was it after 7? I think it's after 7 when we got done with that. And we played Gears 5. And I was on, Act 3 of the campaign, I think? And we finished that. Let me tell you. Gears is still Gears, that's for sure. And I think this one ranks right up there with Gears 3 on the, let's call it the Dom moments. You know, because we all remember the moment in Gears 3 where, you know.
Yeah,
Gears 5 has a couple of those in it. Or three. Three anyway. I mean, I was kind of the point by the time we were getting close to the end of it, I'm like, if something happens to Baird, I'm going to fucking riot. So, you know. So no spoilers here on what happens in case you haven't played it. But Gears 5, I thought it was pretty good. Now, mind you, I haven't played Gears 4, but I did watch Tony play it because that little shit, he's already played it and beat it. So whatever. But Gears 5 was pretty good. So, you know, if you haven't played it yet, I say go for it. And I think they set it up pretty well for Gears 6 if it comes out. So.
Oh, it will come out. And yes, I think they absolutely set it up for Gear 6. I think they said that this is a new, you know, 5 is part of, or was it 4, 5, 6? So it's part of the new trilogy that was all part of the same. So you will definitely get a Gear 6.
Because they definitely left it at a cliffhanger kind of deal there. So.
Absolutely.
And let's talk about the fucking Kraken in that game. Am I the only person? Okay, have you guys seen the Tremor movies with the giant worm that spits?
Yeah.
Did anybody else think that the fucking Kraken looked like a Tremor?
Yeah.
Because I sure hell did. Like, you know, they blown it up like 50 billion times, but that's what it looked like to me. Anyway, look, 4 hours of sleep, people, and I'm high on coffee. Just listen to my prattle. Let's see. And after Gears 5, we were both getting pretty punchy. So we went on to Wreckfest because, let's face it, it's a demo derby game.
It's a perfect game for when you can't drive straight.
Exactly. And it's all about driving into the walls and crashing into the people. And we played that one for a while because we set up a private match sort of thing. So we didn't have to play with a bunch of randoms. And that was fun. And then, of course, last but not least was Lake. And it came out here a month or so ago. And I don't quite get it, but I bought it anyway. Apparently, you're some sort of software designer or something. And you go to your parents' house for the weekend because apparently they've gone to Florida. And for some odd reason, you decide to take a job as a mailman. Fuck me. I don't understand it either. But anyway, so she's back in her hometown and she's delivering mail to all these people that remember her way back before she went off to college and stayed in the city apparently for 20 years or whatever the hell the deal was. So anyway, I played that for like the last hour. And that's where the mail truck getting driven off the road came about because I was starting to fall asleep. And
I'm not sure there could have been a worse game to play that has you, a job as a mailman, which is not exactly the most exciting job in the world.
Right. Exactly. So there was that game. I don't know what to think on it. It was only $20. So I don't feel like I've wasted a bunch of money, but I noticed there were some people on Twitter bragging about it, say if you want a day relaxed, chill sort of game to get this one. It's all about her building relationships back with the people in her small town or something.
Okay.
I don't know. My thing is, when your parents go out of town and your house sitting for like a month, why the fuck would you get another job as a mailman on top of the job you already have? I don't understand this, because in a month's time, you're going to go back to where you're from, and I don't understand. Anyway, I completed Gears 5 and Song of Iron, so that was good. That's probably going to be my only two game completions for the year. But anyway, it was fun, and I want to thank Sarah and Boomer for popping in there and keeping my ass going, because it makes it a hell of a lot easier. So, and I want to, you know, I was going to hop in with you guys, but it just didn't quite click.
Yeah, we got shunned, didn't we, Greg?
I know, we totally did. We got the big stiff middle finger.
Sorry. You know.
That's all right. It's all right.
So anyway, that was what I did.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Dude, prattled through that. So out of all of the games that you played yesterday, I guess here's a question. Which stood out to you as your favorite? Which was your least favorite?
Mm-hmm. Well, probably my least favorite was Lake, mainly because, you know, I drove off and hit mailboxes and fell asleep, but whatever. And I still don't know if it's going to be the game for me, but who knows. And probably my two favorites was probably Gears 5. Well, okay, three. I guess it would be Gears 5, Song of Iron, and Operation Tango. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that then leads to, I guess I'll go next, Mark, which basically is you for the most part. So my grandiose plan yesterday, I had a shitload of games in a folder. I created a special group folder on Xbox. I was like, okay, here's all the games I'm going to play. And I think I had about 12 to 15 games in there. So I started off attempting to play Avengers, and for whatever reason, when I started the Twitch stream up, it said you cannot stream this game, and I was like, this is odd. And I tried a couple times, kept getting the same error, so I was just like, well, fuck that, you know, I guess that's off the list. I moved on and I fired up Phoenix Point and I started playing that a little bit in the morning, and was having a, you know, it's one of those games that when you're fresh and you've got a lot of energy, it's perfect. When you get a little tired, strategy games can be a little taxing. So, you know, especially if they're a little bit slower paced. So I figured I'll play some Phoenix Point early. And then I wasn't sure what I was going to move on to next. And I get this message from Mark. And I'm like, okay. He's like, hey, are you, you know, you're on playing your Extra Life? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I couldn't resist. Well, actually, here, I will read verbatim. Hold on. I have the message. Let me read verbatim how this went down. Okay. So. Yesterday. You streaming your Extra Life? Question mark. I couldn't wait. I bought the premium add-on for Horizon 5. Hopefully, you will have access to it. Sorry for taking longer than I thought. Did you grab any more players? That was later on in the afternoon. But anyway, so yes, Mark, out of the blue, buys Horizons, you know, Forza Horizon 5.
I saw all these people playing it as well already, and I'm thinking, it's a weekend, it's Extra Life. This is a perfect game for Extra Life. So yes.
It absolutely was. Mark buys Horizon 5, and suddenly a game I was not planning on playing is suddenly available for me to play. And so Mark and I ended up playing hours of Horizon 5, doing all kinds of different things. We convoyed for a little bit. We were playing it solo and different, to completing different things. Mark, then you had to jump off. So I kept playing it after you jumped off, and I made a ton of headway. It's a fantastic game. So here's the thing. I know we talk about iterations on iterations, and I'm not going to sit there and say Forza Horizon 5 is rewriting the model and they're redoing things differently. And it's, you know, leaps and bounds different than Forza Horizon 4. However, what I like about the Horizon games compared to the traditional Forza game or even a Gran Turismo racing simulator game is it's kind of twofold. Obviously, it's a little bit more arcadey, so it's a little bit more forgiving. But they always set it up in different locales. And so even though it's the same kind of formula, where you're racing is always different. The vistas, yeah, the things are different. And it's one of my complaints, you know, the Forza, you know, Motorsport and the Gran Turismo, you always get the same racetracks, yeah, for sure. You're always going to get Nuremberg. You're going to get Sebring. You're going to get, just all of these different traditional tracks. And every once in a while they throw in something different. But the core of that game is always basically the same, whereas in the Horizon games, it's always different. And so Mexico is just a fantastic playground. And we had some just laugh out loud moments. I mean, I was taking my Lamborghini. We were racing Lamborghinis. I take it off road and I hit this jump and I get stuck on a rock. And literally, I just nailed it perfectly to where my car, I was stuck. I could not get off this rock. Beached. It was like a teeter totter. You know, you would see it tip forward, tip backwards, tip side. It could not get to the ground and make contact with the tires. So I was just stuck. So Mark comes along. He rams into my car. Yeah, same Lamborghini. Rams into my car to knock me off the rock, which he did successfully. But then he got stuck on the same rock. So I came back around. I knocked him off. I mean, so it was just kind of those funny moments. But, I mean, if you like racing games, Forza Horizon 5 has a ton to offer. It is a big game. They open it up nicely in that you're not suddenly like overwhelmed by one big map all of a sudden. They kind of do it in little stages. But, you know, again, it's the same formula from Horizon 4. So, you know, all of the livery stuff that you created, so all of the stickers and decals and paint jobs that you may have created in previous Horizon games, you can import. And also Forza games. That's important to note. It's not just the Forza Horizon games, mm-hmm. but also Forza Motorsport games. You can import those decals. The voice acting, I think, is a little bit better on this one versus the last one, but it's still pretty cheesy. Character models look slightly better this go around as well. Yeah, the avatars are better, but Playground still has a little bit of problem with their eyes. Something about the way they do the eyes in the Forza games, and maybe it's because they're concentrating on elsewhere, but they have a little bit of that kind of, dead-eye look.
Yeah, but graphically, where it matters, the cars, it's just they are absolutely stunning. They mentioned this on the Digital Foundry video. I don't know how they've done it, but they've sort of like got ray tracing reflections in the paintwork and the glass, without ray tracing. So there's no ray tracing in the game, but they've done reflections, and the real-time reflections.
Yeah, and amazing. I was just saying, Mark, you made mention of this. I was like, well, okay, let's just see. And I was watching, so I played chase car, if you will, the camera angle, and I was watching my rear glass on a number of my cars just to make sure it was actually properly
stuff like
reflecting
the Bronco
everything.
And that with a big black glass at the back, that's the best one to do it in,
Yeah. And it was just it was incredible what they've done. So, they are just some magicians when it comes to the detail and the fidelity that this game has. It is pretty freaking amazing. Mm. And
it's
so
just a lot
I was
of things as well, isn't it? Like on the race things, you've got the checkpoint things. You have them like fabric things, what like blowing up in the wind. When the cars or bikes, whatever, hit them, they move so realistic.
Yeah, they actually react. So there's physics. So, Kim, to put this into perspective, you know how you have those wavy blow up animation things in front of the automotive store, right? You know, if you come up and you knocked it down, you'd see it kind of flap down and then come back up. So they have all of their checkpoints use those type of flags. They're up waving in the air. But if you run over them, they actually will dip down underneath the car. They get impacted by the vehicle and then they flap back up into the air. So just impressive stuff like that. There's also a lot of user created stuff in this game. We were discovering certain types of, missions that are user created. Some of them may have some bugs. I did encounter a couple where I was just like, I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. Why am I not getting at least credit for finishing, what they were asking me to do? But, I think it bodes well for the longevity of the game, having that kind of user-created content. And it's just in the map. It's accessible from the main hub. You don't have to go to something extra or a different menu. It's just all seamlessly integrated. And the soundtrack in this game is great.
They've got some really good radio stations. Good tracks as well. Yeah. Like some recent tracks sort of been like top chart hits.
They got a great remix from Run DMC. Just some good stuff in there. So I was just very much enjoying that. And interestingly, when you get to the festival area, I noticed I could hear the concert. And I drove by the stage slowly, and you could see a guy on stage singing at the concert. Now, unfortunately, they don't have a full band there because I was like, okay, well, he's missing some of the key members there. But it was nice to see, like, in the proximity of the concert fades or gets louder as you get near it and farther away. It's all just done really well. Lots of glowing things to say about this game. I think it's a fantastic addition to the Forza series.
Yeah, they have done some sort of like additional stuff from the last Forza game, so there is some innovation. So now they've included something called Accolades and Adventures. So you, as you do certain races and events, you get accolade points, and these points unlock adventures. And like that thing where you did with the airplane gear where you had to get them crates, that was one of the chapters of the adventure. And there's like four different things in that category. So so there is a lot to it. And like I've got quite a few hours into it now, and the map has become full of icons. There is so much to do now. It's a huge game.
Yeah, speaking of the accolades, so I went on to, there's barn finds similar to what they did in the last game, but one in particular is actually part of, I think, the accolades, where you're finding this Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And so it's a Volkswagen bug. You find it, and then they call it a Vach, I think.
Vacho.
Vacho. And so, it's a series of events all related to this Volkswagen. And I think there's seven of them all said and done. So I think I've done five of them, but I ended, and this was the last thing I did on the live stream. I was doing these Volkswagen bug things, and they did a drift series where they set a Volkswagen bug up for drifting. Oh my God. That was the worst experience of my life. Only because that Volkswagen bug, it handled like it was on glass. And so I was tired. I was just all over the place trying to go down these streets, drifting and testing it out. So it made for a very funny moment. Anyway, this game is fantastic. If you are a car enthusiast, this absolutely is the only game this year for you. There really isn't anything else out there except for, I think, the F1 game. So
From the opening sequence, which is on the screen now, it's just amazing. It's just jaw-dropping. And the first showcase you do is just fantastic. I've not done any more showcases yet. I know there's only four of them, but I've only done the first one.
Yeah, yeah. They don't come quickly, which I think is a good thing, because I think in Forza 4, it felt like there was a lot of them. So this is it's paced well. It's good. Highly recommend it. There's the cosmetic stuff within it, and setting your character up, your avatar. I will say I do love seeing drivatars in the game again. There's something funny about just racing against your friends, even though they're not there. You're seeing their drivatars in game. Mark is a right asshole as his drivatar. I've battled his drivatar a few different times, and we're pretty close in skill set. So I think our drivatars battle back and forth. And then we did Convoy, which was we were cooperatively like on the same team.
That was good
in races, and that was a lot of fun.
And so, even though I messed up our first race, I missed one of the checkpoints. So I had to go back and redo that, which put me in last place. But Gus Greg was battling up the front. He managed to get in first place right at the last minute. We had enough points to win as a team, I came in last and Greg came in first, and we still managed to win. Oh, no, I think I snuck forward a couple of places.
Yeah, you did. I got to about 10th.
Yeah. And we just made it on points to actually win, so that was quite cool.
Yeah. But so that was the big surprise of the day for me. It was getting Forza Horizon 5, and it played a big part in my extra life, because I mean it really was it bookended my day of in the morning to afternoon, and then the very last thing I played in the evening. Beyond that, I then got into playing Back for Blood. So we decided to switch some gears. So Mark jumped in with me. It was Mark, myself, and Lord. And we played Back for Blood. We tried to get Kim to join us, but she gave the stiff middle finger. That's okay. Had a really good time with this game.
It's so good.
I thought I might, but I wasn't sure. You know, this is one of those games that I will say this. I wish it had a better single player option, because you can only play it cooperatively. And if you want to play it single player, they will give you bots. And the bots are helpful to a degree, but ultimately, I wish they had, you know, just a way of having it be like, if you wanted to play it solo, you didn't have to necessarily play with the bots, because the bots can sometimes impede you because they get stuck on stuff. And of course, if they get killed or they die, you fail out as well. So, but beyond that, lots of fun. And this was actually one of the funniest moments. So I set our stream up and we start playing, and I put us on veteran mode.
Oh, Jesus. So
I was like, okay, you know.
I played this briefly the week before with the SEAL guys, with Fraser and Neil and Pilch. And then we started playing yesterday, and I'm thinking, I don't remember it being this fucking hard. We were getting fucking hammered.
Oh, yeah. We're getting like mowed down, hammered, overrun constantly. And everyone's like, what the fuck is going on? I don't remember this game being this difficult. And I'm like, I might have set the difficulty to veteran. And they're like, why would you do that to us? So we changed it back down to normal or recruit level, which was fine. We had a lot of fun with it. It still becomes challenging. And that's the important thing is it still ramps up its difficulty as you continue going on. So, yeah. So Back for Blood, it looks good. You know, it's not winning Game of the Year for graphics, but it doesn't look bad. And I think that's the important thing to kind of point out.
Yeah, gameplay-wise, it's just it's got that sweet spot, hasn't it, where you're panicking, there's lots to shoot at, there's a few jump scares. God, I screamed like a girl one time where this thing just grabbed me and started dragging me away, and you guys were around the corner, and I'm just screaming, help, help!
There was a great moment where we were playing, a number of those types of moments, right? Where it just something comes out of the blue, grabs you, and suddenly you hear somebody screaming. But we played this, there was a Goliath type zombie creature in it. And it's probably like two stories tall.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so we're just like, holy shit. We're like, okay, everybody get back into the building. We'll be safe and we'll just, you know, kind of regroup. So we're all coming into the building and we're going in the door. And suddenly this fucking giant hand comes through the door reaching for us. We're like, holy shit.
That was amazing. You didn't expect it. Normally you think you go in a building, video games, the creature stays outside, you're safe inside. Right. They put his fucking hand in and grabbed you.
Yeah.
It was intense.
Yeah, it was really good. And then the famous birds moment. So there are birds in the game. They're like crows. You know, they're not. I don't think they're undead crows or anything like that.
No. They're just pecking on the dead bodies. Yeah, aren't they?
They're pecking on the dead bodies. But if you disturb them, they will set the zombies off, and suddenly you're facing a horde wave. And so you want to avoid disturbing the birds. Just remember this. I unfortunately did not. I thought I could get around them, and I got too close, and suddenly the birds go flying up, and everyone's like, who fucking set the birds off? And I'm like, it's me. So we suddenly are like scrambling. When the zombie hordes come, they come thick and hard. I mean, it's just like, holy crap, you are just knee deep in bodies. The best thing you could do is try and set up kill zones where you can funnel them into you. And as long as you can keep them out, you'll do well. The other thing about this is the equipment upgrades. So it is kind of like it has a little bit of a roguelike feel to it, in that if you die, you lose your equipment, so to speak. If you fail out completely and have to restart everything, it will... You'll lose your kind of your equipment that you had on you. However, if you're just continuing on from missions and it's like, I'm trying to think of how they do this, Mark, because there were a couple times where we kept our weapons and we thought we were going to lose them.
Yeah.
But then we failed completely out on I think it was the final mission, and that reset us.
Yeah. I think the time we used our continue when we all died, and we used a continue, I had my Tech 9 equipped, which is my secondary backup weapon. I'd lost that. I'd reverted back to a basic pistol. But it was weird because you guys didn't lose anything, did you? So no, I don't know what the scenario is with that.
And I will just say this right now. I had an auto shotgun. That thing was beastly. I that became my weapon of choice. I was just like, holy crap, this is the gun to have. The attachments, the way they work, so you'll find weapons out in the wild that will have upgrades to them. You'll also find equipment out in the wild that you can upgrade to in crates. But then in safe houses and back at the main camp, you can there's different kinds of upgrades. And from what we gathered, at least at camp, you can buy things like skins to your gun. So you can actually model. So if you're going to have like an assault rifle, you can get some different models of the assault rifle. But when you're out in the safe houses, there's like a shop area. And this is where you refill your ammo. You can buy additional equipment, so like bandages, grenades, and you're using kind of in-game money that you've found. So, you know, you'll find money and coins throughout the levels.
Copper. Yeah,
copper. And then you also have the ability, and it is always random, so you don't know what you're going to get, but they will have additional weapons that can be purchased. That might be better than the one you
or
have.
Attachments like a bigger magazine or a scope. Yeah.
They usually have a couple attachments and a couple weapons, but they're always randomized, so you never know what you're going to quite get. And of course, they do the loot system of green, purple, red, that kind of things. Or no, green, blue, red,
and gold.
No, green,
gold.
Blue, purple.
Yeah.
Was gold there too?
Yeah. I got a couple of gold ones at the end.
Okay.
Legendary ones,
Yeah, so that was kind of the path to the upgrades. But yeah, overall, Left 4 Dead was a surprisingly good romp.
Left 4 Dead's the previous one.
Yeah.
But it's basically the same game.
This is the sequel to Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
It is Left 4 Dead 4.
Successor, yeah, absolutely. With enough subtle changes to make it a different-ish game.
Yes, different-ish is the key phrase there. All right. And then lastly, and this was probably my big surprise game. I did once we finished playing Back 4 Blood, I took a break for dinner. I came back out and I was like, you know what? Let me try and stream Avengers to see if I could figure this out. I was able to get it to stream. So I was like, okay, I will then play this game. I was pleasantly surprised by the Avengers game. It is much better than I just anticipated. I thought this game was going to be relatively MMO-like, and it was just going to be, not necessarily the best acted. I knew visually it looked pretty good, but I was not ready for how good this game looked. It is quite a good-looking game. Character models are all fantastic. Again, this is Crystal Dynamics, so I don't know why I didn't think this would not look good. They did all the Tomb Raider games. Those all looked fantastic. This, again, it looks great. It's well voice acted.
Well, they've got some really good quality voice actors as well. They've got Nolan North, Troy Baker. There's some really good quality actors in this.
Now, the story itself is okay. And I say okay in that, you know, they have this young girl as kind of the main character, and she is going to eventually become a new superhero. But a lot of it seems, especially early on, it's very self-serving, Marvel, Avengers. The opening element to this game really feels like you're just taking a tour of the Marvel store. For lack of a better way to put it, because I mean, I've seen a lot of those things in that first part of the game in their Marvel store, of like things you can buy, and I don't want to spoil anything. Obviously, I streamed it all last night, but if you're going to play it, just know you have this young character. She is eventually going to be part of the Marvel team in the story. She's not necessarily a new Avenger, but within the story context, she's part of the team. I think her abilities were nice. It kind of reminds me of, if you remember the Fantastic Four, Mr. Fantastic, I forgot what his was it Mr. Fantastic? Yeah, was that his name?
Reed.
Rich Reed. Yeah, Richard Reed.
Yeah.
So, you know, he can stretch and he becomes very flexible with the, you know, he's basically Rubber Man, for the best way to put it. That's kind of your superpower with this girl. And I will say, I was also, again, because I've been so, I don't know, indoctrinated to the Marvel Avengers movies, you know, I see all of these guys as, you know, Tony Stark is Tony Stark from the Avengers. Captain America is Captain America from the Avengers movies. So the character models, when I first saw the Avengers game, I was really off put by it because I was like, that's not Tony Stark. That's not Captain America. That's not Thor. So that threw me off. And I kind of came into this with a very negative attitude about those character models and just kind of knowing they weren't the actors from the Marvel Avengers movies. Do not worry about that. It's fine. They do a good job. They look great. I think overall, it's okay. You know, I think they did a good job of making these characters be the characters that are similar enough to the movie that are the movies that you're not going to be really off put by it. And again, really well voice acted, well directed. There's a lot of interactive movie moments to this, and there's a lot of quick time events in this game. I will say that's one thing. Be prepared for a lot of, you know, press X, press A, you know, to as you're falling, that kind of thing. But overall, really pleasantly surprised by the Avengers. I have to say, if you have a chance to play it, I don't think there's a reason why you shouldn't.
Hey, it's on Game Pass now, so.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. There are some filler stuff to this game. And I think two things that happen with this game that I think it caught the ire of a lot of people is, one, they have a lot of in-game purchase stuff that you can buy. So you can buy character suits and pay real money to get those. And I think that put a lot of people off because ultimately I think Square Enix wanted this to be a games as services type of thing. And also in terms of the missions in the game, I do, again, because they wanted this to be a living game that kind of went on past the campaign, there's a lot of bloat. So just focus on the story, and I think you're going to be a little bit happier versus all of the side mission stuff, because ultimately for me, it felt like the side mission stuff really served more a purpose towards trying to get you to be in this game environment longer and potentially buy more skins because you're a fan. So anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. Maybe it's my tiredness, but Avengers is good. It's not going to be game of the year for me, but it's well worth playing. I would definitely say it's right in that 7.5-8 range in terms of if you're looking for a score so far for me. What's the question here? The Hulk's outfits. Yeah, there are some funny moments in the game.
Yeah, and it's funny how when Dr. Bruce Banner wakes up, he's always got a jacket around him. Right. There's one to hand, incidentally, wherever he wakes up, in the middle of a fucking desert. Oh, yeah, there's a jacket here. I'll just put a jacket on. Cover my body.
There are definitely holes in the story. Do not think that this story is perfect.
Smart. Yeah.
Well, but it's also, this is, you know, very much part of, I think, the Avengers universe. You really stop and think about it, there are holes within that. This game definitely has some, you know, there's part of this game is there's a secret hideout in the middle of the desert that is like gigantic and would be probably visible from a satellite in space. So how this has remained hidden from the bad guys is beyond me. So there are those types of moments within the story. But overall, it's good. I was just pleasantly surprised. I think I was more surprised by the quality of the voice acting and the directing of the scenes than anything. It really stood out to me as being quite good.
And you're on about that new sort of like that girl character who becomes an inhuman because of what happens in the beginning.
Right.
She's well acted as well, and I quite like her. I've got to like her as a character. And
yeah, I hated her at first.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I quite liked her after a while.
When you go into a mission now, you can choose to play as a different character. I usually pick her, because she's my most leveled up character anyway. So I tend to pick her anyway, yeah. It's quite good.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So Avengers, surprisingly good. Go check it out. And that does it for me. That was my entire loop of Extra Life. Mark, did you have any games you wanted to just kind of touch on before we move on?
Yeah, so just briefly, I've done a bit more Miles Morales, getting quite through. I'm about 75% through the game now. Just same as usual, it just looks awesome. It plays really well. Just a really, really well put together game, just like the original Spider-Man. Insomniac, they're a massive trump card for Sony to acquire that studio now. Yeah, it's just fantastic. If you've got a PlayStation, this is one of the games what you just have to play. It's just amazing. And then the other game I've played, I mentioned it last time I was on, which is another PS5 exclusive, which is Deathloop. I've actually finished
timed
it now.
Timed exclusive.
Yeah, timed exclusive, yeah. Now, it's for a year. It's not actually technically a PS5 exclusive, it's on PC as well.
Yeah, true.
So I've mentioned it before, this is a like a Groundhog Day type game, so you're in a daily loop, the day resets every day. If you die, it resets at the end, and then after the morning, afternoon and evening sessions, it resets anyway, and anything you had has gone and you reset. But you can get a upgrade which is called infusion, and you can infuse different things so you can eventually keep them. So the main objective is to escape the loop. To escape the loop, you have to kill 8 bosses, basically. They're called visionaries, and you have to kill all 8 in one day. So you might think, well, that's easy, but it isn't, because you don't know where they are, and you've only got 4 sessions, the morning, midday, afternoon and evening. So the whole purpose of doing these loops is to learn where these bosses are, get intel, and it eventually pieces it all together so you can eventually do one last loop and take them all out. So I got to that point where I thought, right, I'm ready, I'm going to go for it now. And for the last boss, you have to get these passwords to get into this area. I am going to spoil it. And I thought I'd done all that. So I kill every single visionary and I go for the last boss. And this thing won't let me in because I haven't got the final password. So I had to reset the day, find this last password, and then reset again and do all the bosses again. But luckily, with knowing what's what, it wasn't too bad. But it wasn't a chore either, because people might think, oh yeah, doing the same thing over and over again. Each run's different. All the enemies spawn in different places. The AI is very clever at taking cover and flanking you. And I never got bored of it. And it's just a joy to play. And I got hooked on it. I just wanted to complete this. I played this solid for 2 weeks, coming home from work, doing a couple hours a night, weekends and that. And I was hooked on it. A lot of collectibles in it. Just a fantastic game. And those waiting for it on Game Pass, you're in for a treat, because it's such a good game. It's unique, it's clever, it's got different things, it's got a lot of humour in it. The banter between your protagonist and the antagonist, it's just amazing. So yeah, well worth getting and it's currently on sale on PlayStation. It's 34% off. So if you've got a PS5, I'd recommend buying it. If you're on Xbox, you just got to wait till September next year and you're in for a treat. Yes,
absolutely. Is this on PS4 as well, or is it just PS5?
No, PS5, I believe, okay. Only. PS5 and okay. PC. Yeah.
All right.
So, yes, that's Deathloop completed. Victory achieved. Done.
Excellent. Nice. All right. Well, we had a couple of victories achieved from you guys, but we're not going to go over victories achieved this week. We'll save that for next week. Instead, we're now going to kind of get towards wrapping the show up. First and foremost, we're going to do some lists. The list that we start with, though, is games coming out next week, Kim.
Oh. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Hold on, let me scroll down. Falling asleep on my job.
It's not the first time it's happened.
All right, your new release. Right? Your new releases for September. Holy shit. November 7th to the 15th. I swear to God, I'm here. I really am. Anyway, we have Airborne Kingdom for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch on November 9th. Then we have Disney Classic Games Collection, which is for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 9th as well. Football Manager 2022 for Xbox One and PC on November 9th. Can I just say it's weird that we're already in November already?
I mean, you can't. Crazy, it's okay.
Where did October go? Like, Phil mentioned it last week. Where the fuck did October go?
It flew by.
Exactly. Forza Horizon 5 for the Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One and PC on November 9th. Jurassic World Evolution. I really can't talk today. World Evolution 2 for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on November 9th as well. Among Trees, not to be confused with Among Us. I don't imagine they're the same. Out for PC on November 10th. Although, I don't know, maybe trees are suspicious. Bright Memory Infinite for the PC on November 11th as well. Grand Theft Auto, the Trilogy, the Definitive Edition. Wow, that's a mouthful and a half. For the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on November 11th. And I might actually pick that up just so I can play Vice City again.
You get one of them. With Game Pass, you would get San Andreas. PlayStation Now have got Vice City.
They've got three.
Oh, right. Have they got three?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, it's Vice City is just my all-time favorite one.
Yeah.
Right. I loved Vice City. It was awesome. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic for Switch on November 11th. The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Special Edition for those people that haven't bought it, you know, enough already.
This has been released as many times as fucking GTA 5.
This is for Rich.
Right?
Rich Webster will buy this again, I guarantee it.
Exactly, just so he can mod it out again. And Xbox Series X and S on November 11th. Shin Megami Tensei 5 for the Switch on November 12th. And those are your new releases.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Kim. All right. Well, we're going to end the show with kind of giving shout outs to all of the people that donated for Extra Life. So, Mark, you know, we'll have you start with shout outs first before we get into that.
We
do want to say thank you for being here. We will be back next week, as always. 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone on Twitch, on YouTube. Come check us out. We will have an audio version of the podcast as well. We always do. So you can download that for your ears if you're on a treadmill and you don't want to watch something. Now, that said, Mark, how about some shout-outs with you to start, please?
Right, so everybody who took part in Extra Life this year for Team VG Hub and our team captain, Gary, who's that guy, DeFelice? So yeah, it was Kim, Greg, Garrett, Wallowitz family, Lewis Romando, a few of us. I haven't got the VG Hub team up there, but everyone who took part again, well done. I've not done it the past couple of years for various reasons with changing jobs and stuff and just getting back into the swing of it, but I'll probably do it again next year. So I'll be joining you guys. But I might as well have done it this year. I did 12 hours.
I know.
Right?
A special shout out to Lord for the fun we had on Back for Blood last night. Greg, myself and Lord, we had an absolute blast. We had a good laugh. It's just an amazing game to play with friends, and that's what you want. That's the whole idea of it all. So I'll let you guys thank your donors, and we'll take it out of here.
All right, well, Kim, why don't we have you start first?
Already, yeah, I've got a kind of a list here, believe it or not, because I did really good.
You did well, right?
Let's see, donors, we have Claire Mucho, Gary Harris, our very own boomer, my boss and buddy Brian, my dad, of course, because he has no control over it. I have the checkbook. Lord, Mike Breschler, Duke Scath, Empower 343, our very own Mechanics, and Robin. So, thank y'all, I appreciate it very much. If you still want to donate, like Greg said, you can still donate. So, I really want to thank Gary and Sarah for, you know, sticking around, helping me stay awake and putting up with the fact that I was fuzzy brain, and, you know, everyone else, all words of encouragement, and, you know, retweeted our donation links on Twitter and that sort of thing. It was really helpful. So, you know, cause after 12 hours, you kind of start to, you know, anything after that, and you can get people to help you kind of keep it going, it's great. So thank y'all.
There you go. It is in fact a team effort, absolutely.
I've got the latest results, how much you've raised so far, if you want me to just quickly go through that.
Yeah,
So far, Team VG Hub with six people in the team, which via what I've just basically said, Greg DeLacy, Wallowitz Family, Gary DeFelice, Seal Podcast, eight guys took part as well, Kim Woods and Lewis Raymundo. You guys have raised an amazing $4,850.13 so far, and that is fantastic for six people.
Oh, so that is awesome.
Done. Absolutely well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. It amazes me. It humbles you how much just people do support a cause like this. So it's fantastic. So, thank you to everybody, obviously, to Kim's donors, to the VG Hub teams, to the Seal Podcast guys for jumping into the VG Hub as well. And then I have a bit of a lengthy list, so apologies will go on for a little bit, but I'm going to go through it. I want to make sure I give everybody their due shout outs. So, starting from the top of my list, we've got Robin Tate, Mark Wright, Tim Campbell, Marilyn Tona, The Suttons, Mariah Woolworth, Gary Harris, Joe E., Dave Parofalo, Evan Tehan, Joanne Hobbs, Elizabeth, Sheree and Mike, the Cash Family, an anonymous donor. And that was the last time I say the anonymous donor, but no, there are a couple anonymous donors within this. Debbie Katifi, Robert Owen, Frank Giel, Matthew Bolzanello, and then we've got Chris Brennan, Janice Allen, the Cleva family, Troy Jenkins, the Drum family, and finally the DeLacy family. So cheers to all of those people and so much more. You all have helped make a difference. You really have. And a shout out especially to my wife. Need to give her props for watching my son while I did all of this, because to be perfectly honest, without her, I couldn't do this. So, I always say we raise this money, it really does. The families really do help out.
Yes.
So, and of course all of our friends, Lord Greasy Fish Lips, Mark, you were there for me. Mike Chin popped into the chat. Sarah RCGC made me. She made me crash.
Damn it, Phil, Sarah.
Phil popped in at one point. So, just all of that support, all of those individuals, just kind of being there. And it's funny because there were a few different times, and in fact, the hospital that I donate to, the director for the hospital popped into my stream at one point. I didn't see it in time. Yeah. And she just said, thanks for the support. And it was great to see that. You don't always see it in time because you're so fixated on the game. And because of how I have things set up, my chat is below me. So anyway, that's why I crashed when Sarah jumped on, by the way, because I looked down and saw Sarah's name. I was like, oh, hey, and I hit a tree. But thank you to everybody. Thank you to listening to the show. Come back next week. We will be here, and we'll talk gaming in some fashion or another. Mark, take us out. Funny side story. Mark, you might want to edit this into maybe the post show. Whatever.
Right, yeah, I'm still recording. So
Kim, I noticed you're wearing your Extra Life shirt.
Uh-huh.
So I got my Extra Life shirt probably 2 weeks back, and I was all excited. I was like, yeah, it looks pretty good. I go to put it on, and I was like, holy shit. Is this fucking like a tube top or what? And I was like, it says extra large. It was extra large youth.
I think.
Does anybody want barbecue shields for their barbecue?
It is fucking winter here. It's freezing cold and wet.
All right. Just trying to figure out what the hell a barbecue shield is. What the hell?
He must be shit at barbecuing if he has to shield himself.
I need sleep.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
And don't forget, you can still donate.